Okay, this is our third week speaking on spirit, soul, and body. Right, so I'll give a wee quick recap, but the last 2 weeks have been amazing. So if you've missed them, you can click on our website and you can get them from there. So here's our first scripture is, we're taking this from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. It says, may your spirit and soul and body be preserved sound and complete. So this is letting us know that we're made up of spirit and soul and body. We're made up of these three parts. We are a spiritual being. So we have a soul and it all lives in this body. This body's not the one going to heaven. Aren't we happy about that? We're going to get a new one. But so our body doesn't change when we become a Christian. We're more or less the same before as we were after we got saved physically, okay? Our soul is the part we've been looking at mostly, and it's our mind, our will, and emotions. You might think of it as being your heart. Some people say, oh, in my heart, okay? But it's everything we feel and everything we think. You might think of it as being your nature or your character, but the Bible calls it our soul. So it's all of our thoughts, and it's all of our feelings, and our decision of our will as to whether or not we act on them, okay? And it's in this area of our thoughts and our feelings where we get things wrong continually. That's where we will sin. It's not in our spirit. That's the born-again part where God lives. But it is in our emotions and in our thoughts. And we will be working on our soul until the day we die. All right? There's just no two ways about it. So the first week we focused on our mind and everything. All our thoughts, and I also brought this proposition to you that we have the mind of Christ right now, if we choose to tune into it. So if you've not heard teaching on that, that's an amazing teaching. That was week one. Last week, we looked at our emotions, and we said this, that living in our emotions is an extravagance we can't afford. People who live in their emotions all the time are up and down like a yo-yo, and they'll win friends and lose friends before breakfast and after breakfast, you know, because you cannot rely on them. They're emotionally up and down. Yeah. This week, I'm going to take just a really quick look at our will, you know, our decision to do something, and then I want to take a final, closer look at our spirit. Right, so our will is the part that makes the decisions in our life, all the choices that we make. So first of all, we can think angry, and then we can feel angry, but finally we make a choice to be angry, to act it out, okay? So Grace might be really annoyed with Linda. She might, nothing new there. She might be thinking annoying thoughts, then she might be feeling annoying thoughts, and then when the spirit of slap comes on her, she might act on it and deck Linda one, you know? So we'll all be there with our cameras to watch that. But the thing is, Grace has a choice in that. We all have a choice. It all happens so quickly with our thoughts and our feelings, and the anger rises up. It happens so quickly that we think we don't have a choice, but in fact we do. We can choose how we react to any feelings or thoughts that we have. You know, even when they flash into our mind, we can just stand there and go, I'm not going to react to this. I'm not going to do anything about it. Matter of fact, I'm going to walk away. Or we can react calmly. We can choose not to have these negative emotions. And we can say, I refuse to think that, or I refuse to feel that. I don't know how many leadership meetings I've been in over the years, either at work or with church, but I've been in tons. You know, like a fiver for every leadership meeting I've been in. And sometimes you come away from these meetings, and I can remember coming away, driving the car home, feeling quite upset, in fact, crying, because the way the leadership meeting had gone for whatever reason. And then you'd get a few miles down the road and I'm coming over the fourth road bridge, you know, and you're thinking to yourself negative thoughts about maybe one person in particular that was at the table because you thought they were against you. And then all of a sudden God's saying to me, Sandra, that person's not against you, they're for you. They're for the church, they're for God, they're for the leadership. But maybe we had a different opinion as to how to get to our goal. But that doesn't mean that I was wrong, but it doesn't mean they were wrong either. But the enemy just comes in and we can have all these negative feelings. So I made a decision right there and then, and I've done it on more than one occasion. I refuse to think negatively about this person. They're for me. They're for God. And I'm not going to let the little foxes come in and just steal from me. And then once I've said the prayer, Lord, you bless them. Just bless them. Let them have a great day today. And I'm not going to think negatively about them. Then the joy starts to rise up again on the inside. Otherwise, we're carrying those negative emotions around. It's a bit like someone's strapped a backpack on our back, you know, and we can pull the cord to release it. But if we don't pull the cord, it's never going to be released. And we're going to keep carrying that weight around with us. Our mind and our emotions will rule our life, but only if we let them by a decision of our will. We need to stop in the middle of all that turmoil and go, I've got a choice here. Turn to someone today and say, I've got a choice. I don't need to sit beside you. We've got a choice, okay? It's hard to decide the right thing because our will is so influenced. It's part of our soul. It's right in there like a sandwich. You know, emotions, thinking, will in the middle. What am I going to do about them? If our will decides, on the other hand, to go, if it decides to go with our soul, to go with the negative thoughts and emotions, then it will be up and down and will be unstable and we won't be able to rely on it. But if our will decides to go with our spirit, what God is saying to us, then we will walk in God's will and have his mind. So if we can see it like that, it's a decision that we need to make. Our will decides the direction we go in, and it's like a tug of war between our soul and our spirit. So if you just imagine I've got a rope, a large rope, that I won't bring the green rope out again. We've seen that recently. So just imagine I've got this large rope, and my spirit is on one side of it, the godly part of me is on one side of it, and my soul is on the other end of it, okay? The part that all my thoughts and all my emotions that can get it right or it can get it wrong. And in the middle is my will. Now, I need to decide which one I'm going to partner with. So if I partner with my soul realm, negative thoughts and negative emotions, it's two against one, and my negativity is going to win. But if I run over here and partner with the spiritual side of me, like, this is what God wants me to do. God wants me to forgive that person. God wants me to pray for them. God wants me to walk away and keep my mouth shut here. Then I'll go in that direction. It's as simple as that. We have a decision to make, and we can take the time to make that decision. And sometimes all it means is, if it's a situation at work, walk away from the desk, go to the kitchen, make a cup of tea, and in the 2 minutes it takes to boil the kettle, you've had time to calm down and time to make a decision of your will and hopefully link up with the right one. So note this, whatever we line our will up with, that's what we are choosing to agree with. It's a choice. We're choosing to agree. We're either choosing to agree with God's attitude on it, or we're choosing to agree with a negative attitude on it. Our will makes our decisions, and that makes our will very important indeed and very powerful. So do I go with my thoughts or God's thoughts? Do I go with my feelings or God's feelings on this? And we need to take that 2 or 3 seconds to ask ourselves that question, sometimes on a daily basis. The only way to successful living is to line up our will with God's will. And then all our emotions will follow. The rest of our soul will follow what God wants us to do. So here's a question. What are we lining our will up with? Is it taking us our way, or is it taking us God's way? Is it God's plan for our life? So here's a scripture, Galatians 5 and verse 16, and it's Paul talking. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Okay, this is Paul talking. This is a fairly godly man. Even Paul struggled with his flesh. And by flesh here, he's meaning all his emotions and all of his thoughts. So he's talking about his soul realm. That's what your flesh is, your old way of thinking. That's what he's talking about. And he's saying the soul and the spirit are at war. There's a continual conflict, two forces within us constantly fighting to win control over our mind and over our emotions. And at times, our soul wants to do the complete opposite of our spirit. So you might go to bed at night feeling quite good about yourself and you have a good night's sleep and you're thinking, and your spirit's thinking, I'm going to get up early. I'm getting up at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning and I'm going to have that quiet time before I need to go off to work or whatever. And then the alarm clock goes off at 7 and your soul says to you, just stay in bed. It's really dark these mornings. It's been a bit chilly. Just pull the quilt up and just stay there. And there's that battle. Do I go with the urge of the Holy Spirit to get up and have time with him? Or do I just stay there and go with my feelings? We need to do what our spirit is telling us to do by a decision of our will. You know, when my alarm clock goes off, my will, my soul realm does not want to get out of that bed. But by a decision of my will, I get up. Otherwise, I will not be able to fit into the day everything I need to be able to do. We're the only ones who control what goes on in our minds and in our hearts. So how do we control it? By our will, by making the right choices. So in conclusion to the part about the will, we've got a choice to make. Are we going to believe our emotions, or are we going to believe our God and what he wants us to do? The enemy is out to defeat us, and our soul is the battlefield. Our mind and our feelings is the battlefield where he plays it out. You know, Jesus chose to hang on the cross, and it was an act of his will. There's a song we used to sing years ago, "Love is not a feeling, it's an act of your will." You know, when you just want to get the frying pan out and clobber your spouse over the head with it, it's an act of your will. Leave the frying pan in the cupboard, go and cool down, and forgive them for whatever it is they've done. An act of your will keeps you in that marriage relationship. An act of your will keeps you in the friendship relationship. An act of your will keeps loving the kids even when they're teenagers. You just keep loving them through it. It's an act of our will. Sometimes it's an act of our will to choose to come to church. We get up in the morning and think, oh, it's Sunday. I could just lie here a wee bit longer. But you know what? If you miss this, if you miss God and the presence of God, then you've really missed it for the week. So it's an act of our will to come along and do these things. God loves us by his will. He made a decision to love us, and he chose to die for us. Nails did not hold Jesus to the cross. His will did. So now I want to look at our spirit. We mentioned it briefly in week one, but I just think it's so worth mentioning a little bit more about it. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So as Christians, we're a new creation. We say we're born again Christians. You know, we're born again. We're new. Our spirit becomes new. It's not our body, and it's not our soul. Okay, it's an amazing revelation, this, that we are these three different compartments all rolled into one. God takes our old spirit, and he creates a new spirit in us when we ask him in. So the minute we say that simple prayer, "Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life and I want you to be my Lord." He comes in, not physically, because he'd walk right into us, but by the power of his Holy Spirit, he comes onto the inside of us. And that's the part that is then born again. It's our spirit that's born again. And that part of me, that one third of me that is spirit, is 100% Holy Spirit and perfect and ready for heaven right now. My body's not ready for heaven. My soul, all my thoughts and feelings are not ready for heaven, but my spirit is. So one third of us is already ready for heaven. The minute we accept Jesus as Lord, he comes to live inside us by his spirit. He doesn't live in our soul, our mind and emotions. They'll get things wrong until the day we die. And the Holy Spirit does not run out when we get things wrong. We said this the first week. If I get something wrong, it doesn't mean God's left me. Bible says he'll never leave me. And I like people to picture it as just being this little well on the inside, just this empty feeling without God. You know that? I used to call it that Sunday night feeling where you just think something's missing in my life. And people put movies on or they go drinking or clubbing or whatever to fill that gap. Do you know, nothing will fill that gap except the Spirit of God. He's the one that's meant to live there. And it's right here in this well, in the center of us. And then the Bible tells me that once his spirit enters me, he seals it with a wax seal. And I describe it as being like, you know, your mum or your granny making the jam. They make the jar of jam and they put the wax seal on top. So nothing bad, no bacteria can get in. Nothing bad can get into that jam. But the goodness of that homemade strawberry jam can't get out either. So all the goodness is sealed in. And I had several scriptures, but here's two of them again. 2 Corinthians 1:22. God has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts. Ephesians 1:13. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit. He's sealed in us. It's like the stamp of approval from God, you know, sealed. That's it. We've got it, and it's not going anywhere. It's not going to run out. We still sin, but it's in our soul. It's our thoughts and emotions that get it wrong. You know, in the first week, we said, when we're born again, our spirit can no longer sin because it's filled with God's Spirit. God looks at our spirit, and he says, perfect, complete, and sealed. So here's another revelation for us this week. All we need from God is already in us, but it's in our spirit. We don't need God to give us more. We just need to know what we've already got. God's power lives right here in our spiritual belly, in the well on the inside of us. John 7, verse 38 says this, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. The Amplified says, his innermost being, right here in the middle of my being, and my innermost being is my spiritual belly, and the Holy Spirit will flow out of it. This is referring to the Holy Spirit in us, which is meant to flow out of us. I've stopped picturing God sending things down to me. I've stopped looking up into the sky as if my answers to my prayer are millions of light years away, and I'm begging God to send them down. This has been a revelation for me, and I want you to get this revelation. I now see the answers to my prayers coming out of me. They're in my spirit. They're in my belly already, and they're going to come out of my spirit and out of my innermost being when I speak them out. So if I speak God's blessing over a situation, it will be blessed. If I speak the word of God over it, then the word of God has power over that situation to change it. And we need to believe it. Stop begging for the power of God to come down and start releasing it out of our belly. We're begging things to come down when we should be letting them flow out of us, out of the wealth we already have on the inside of us. Folks, we are rich on the inside. I want you to turn to someone today and say, on the inside, I'm a millionaire. You know, we're millionaires because God's already given us everything we need, but it is in our spirit. We already have the raising from the dead power of God in us. We already have power to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, and cast out demons because God already gave it to us. And you might say, well, when did he give us it, Sandra? He gave us it in Matthew 10 and verse 8. You just need to read it. It's all there. He gave it to us. So is it flowing out of us? Do we know we have that power on the inside? Are we releasing it with our words? Or are we still begging to do something that God's already told us, in our innermost being? God's power is already here. It's in us, but we need to release it. When you pray, begin to picture power flowing out of our belly towards the situation. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. We need to believe we've got his power in us. So here's another revelation. Think about this one. It's easier to release what we've got than try to get something we don't have. You know, if someone comes up to me and Eleanor comes up and she says, Sandra, can I borrow some coffee? I say, oh, sure, Eleanor, I'll just go to my cupboard and I'll get you the coffee. There it is. But what if I don't know that coffee's in my cupboard? What if I don't know it's there? And then I have to say to Eleanor, I'm sorry, Eleanor, I'll need to go to the shop. She'll have to wait. I'll go and buy some coffee and I'll come back and give it to you. But that coffee was in my cupboard all the time. I could just have given her it because it was already in my house. We've got the power of God to raise the dead on the inside of us, and we don't know it, we don't realize it, and we are not releasing it. And it's so much easier to release something once we know we've got it than to start running around trying to buy it from somewhere or begging God to send it down. Many of us are still begging for things, but not speaking God's word out to release them. speaking the word or speaking in tongues or speaking in English, whatever it is, will release God's power and our answer. If we think we don't have it yet, it opens a door for doubt and unbelief to come in, and then the enemy's won. It also opens a door for us to beg God, oh, please, God, do this for me. Please, God, give me this. And we're begging him for something he's already given us. We must stop begging for the answer to come down out of the sky and start learning how to release what God's already given us. John chapter 1 and verse 16 says this, "For out of his fullness, the superabundance of his grace and truth, we have all received grace upon grace, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favour upon favour, and gift heaped upon gift." Look at what it says here. It says we've all received in our spirit, not in our body, not in our soul, but in our spirit, every one of us has received grace upon grace and blessing upon blessing and favour upon favour and gift heaped upon gift, more blessings, more gifts than we'll ever, ever imagine. And it says we've all received his fullness. Do we know it? Are we releasing it? Because our spirit is jam-packed blessings and power that God has already given to us. So stop thinking his power is out there somewhere, way up high in the sky, and we can't possibly touch it unless God's in a good mood. His power is in you and it's in me, heaped upon heaped upon heaped. It's in us in abundance, but it's in our spirit, and it's up to us to get it into our soul and our body. It's by our will that we start to release the power that's already in us. So here's another revelation. We have unlimited potential in our spirit, and we release it by our will. We make a decision to believe it. We make a decision to speak it out. We make a decision to release it. Here's a quote from Andrew Womack. "When the Lord returns, your spirit and soul will be reunited with your glorified body. At that time, all three will be perfect. But until then, the Christian life is renewing your mind and acknowledging the perfection already in your spirit so that your soul and physical body can experience the benefits." So this says that perfection is already in our spirit because that's where God lives. Our soul and our body aren't perfect yet. They will be when we get to heaven, but our spirit is perfect right now. In our spirit, we are rich, rich, rich. We're millionaires. We are spiritual millionaires. This is my last scripture today, and it's Colossians 1 and verse 27. "God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." When we ask the Lord Jesus to come into our life and be our Lord and Saviour, the riches of his glory come in too. His whole Holy Spirit, riches of glory come into our spirit. We need a revelation of this truth that Christ is in us. He's in us and he's not leaving. That's our hope of glory, that Jesus Christ lives in us by his Spirit. The riches of the glory of God live in you and they live in me. We already have perfection, but it's in our spirit. Do we believe it? Then start to release it. Start to believe power is released when we pray, when we speak out God's word. I'm just going to finish with a little word of prayer. So if you want any part of this, I'm just going to pray right now. Father, I thank you for this word. Please give us a revelation that when we're born again, our spirit can no longer sin because it is filled with God's spirit. Give us a revelation that all we need from God is already in us, but it's in our spirit. Father, I thank you that it's so much easier to release what we've got than to try to get something we don't have, but we need to know what we've got. We have unlimited potential in our spirit, and it's up to us to release it. In Jesus' name, amen.